Blog Talk Radio.
Legendary status, Big XL, Sam Pisa, aka TF. Where y'all gonna learn, man? You can't stop what's inevitable. It's the incredible. Easy AKTM, fry some jewels, but they edible. I ate my vegetables, but he ate my spinach. Riding with Vic again, so no, we ain't finished. Legendary sadness, so no, you cannot copy. Riding dirty radio, so crispy, y'all so sloppy. Answer to the street, so we know just what is needed. But keep it underground, staying down, cause we ain't greedy. This is where you find what is popping for the culture. Where we keeping it all fresh and stay away from all the vultures. No, scavengers here, just keeping it real. Big got it out the mud, but it's still so clear. So sit back, relax, and just let us lead you. If you're trolling for no reason, then we don't need you. It's Big XL, he can't be stopped. Riding dirty forever, the home of real hip hop.
What up, world? It's your boy, Big XL, and this is the Ride and Dirty Show, where we bridge the gap between hip-hop and everyday life. And one time for all my Leo, it is Leo season, and I never shout out Zodiacs, but I shout out Leos because I am a Leo, and so is my son and a lot of my friends. So shout out to all my Leos out there. It is Leo season. Hopefully all my Leos are definitely getting it in and going to enjoy this month to the fullest. Please enjoy this month to the fullest. All right, now before we get into it, man, I got to say one time for all the good people over on all the streaming channels that carry the Ride and Dirty Show. Shout out to iTunes. Shout out to SoundCloud, Audio Mac. Man, we are on over 15 streaming platforms. Over 15 streaming platforms, and shout out to every single platform that allow us to utilize that platform to spread the good news, the good word about all the people and all the artists that we've interviewed over the past 10 years. I'm saying 10 years because we've been doing this so long. We've been doing it so long, I darn near forgot. But we've been doing it definitely over 15 years. Bukus and bukus and bukus of interviews. And shout out to every platform that worked hard to allow us a platform to broadcast and stream. Also got to say one time for good people over at WRFG 89.3 FM Atlanta. Again, one time for the good people over at WRFG 89.3 FM Atlanta. We've been holding down the overnight slot Thursday night, Friday morning, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. I said that backwards. For the past 15 plus years, definitely shout out to you guys for giving us the opportunity and the platform to be heard on the FM airways for so long. Also, got to say one time for the good people over at Ride 95. All right, Ride 95 is the internet home for the Ride and Dirty Show. So definitely one time for everyone that gives us the opportunity to be heard, whether it's on the internet, whether it's on FM radio, whatever the case may be. One time for everyone who opens up their platform and gives us the opportunity to be heard, and also gives the people who are guests on our show the opportunity to be heard as well. All right, now, y'all make sure y'all follow us on all streaming platforms, Ride and Dirty Radio. That's on TikTok, that's on Twitter, that's on Facebook, that's on Instagram, and on YouTube. Make sure, because you can check out all the interviews on YouTube as well, and that's Ride and Dirty TV. And for those who don't know, the dirty is spelled D-U-R-T-Y. That's R-I-D-I-N-D-U-R-T-Y. Why? TV on YouTube and radio on all the other platforms. Also, check out my podcast, me and my co-host Spank, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on YouTube at 10 a.m. We drop brand new content, and the podcast is called the Country Rap Report. So please check us out on that YouTube channel, which is Country Rap Report, over on YouTube. All right, now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, today is no different than any other day on the Ride and Dirty Radio platform. So, y'all get locked in. y'all get up real, real close to your speakers, because we got a guest. And y'all know, when we got the ladies in the house, we got to give it up for the ladies. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Ryan Dirty platform. Artist, songwriter, author, Lady Miz. How you doing, Ma?
I'm all right. How you doing?
Oh, man, trying to change my energy. It was off for like a millisecond. I'm normally really, really hyped up, but for like a millisecond, my energy was off, but I'm back on track.
All right, nice to hear that. I hear you. You sound like you're good to me.
I ain't drinking. And when I'm not drinking, sometimes I'll be down a notch. No, I'm just joking. All right, look, I always like to start my interviews off by saying I'm very, very humbled, and I thank you for your time and giving me the opportunity to speak to you and introduce you to our, I don't even like to use the word fans, introduce you to my friends, the people who've been rocking with the Ryan Dirty Show for the past 20 years. Just thank you for giving us a moment to speak with you.
Listen, thank you so much for having me on your platform. I really appreciate it.
All right, so look, let's get into it. Let's talk about Lady Miz and where Lady Miz is from and what made Lady Miz decide to be a Renaissance woman and do so many things in this industry.
Sure, yeah. So I'm born in Philly, West Philly, and then I moved to New York, which is upstate New York, about an hour away from the city, is Rockland County. We call it the 845 area, and I've been living up here ever since I was about 10 years old. And as far as music, what made me get, well, music has always been like around me, whether it's my mom, sisters, or other family members that constantly was playing it. So it always, you know, was there. Something that was enjoyable, something that always made things pop. You know, like if you can't do nothing, a party or anything without having music. You could be cleaning your house. You need music. You know what I mean? So music was always there no matter what the situation was. But how I got into it was when I was on punishment. I was like 11 years old. I was on punishment because I was mad that my mom moved me from Philly to New York. And I was in the room. You know, I ain't have nothing else to do, so I had the boombox back there. I was in the room, and I was writing Dougie Fresh and Slick Rick lyrics down, the song called The Show. So I was like, damn, I want to recite the rhymes just like they say it. So I was writing their stuff down, and then I just started writing my own. I was like, ooh, this would sound dope or fly if I say it like this. And then I started switching it up and kind of like rapping over them. And from there, I just continued to write. I loved it. It was something I enjoyed. And it was something that just really naturally came to me at that time. So that's how I got into it.
All right. Now I got to ask, what was it like growing up in Philly? Because a lot of good hip hop has come out of Philly and is still coming out of Philly.
Yeah. So for me, you know, you got to remember, I was born 77. So, you know, for me, growing up, that was the early stages of my life. And for me, it was good, you know, because you were a kid. You don't know what's going on. I mean, of course, you know, we had our struggles and stuff like that. But I can't say that as far as how it is now, that I really experienced the worst of it. Yeah, there was bad stuff going on. There was shootings going on. But it wasn't like it is now. You know, my family, on my father's side is still out there. My dad is still out there. My brothers are still out there. My cousins are still out there. So living out there for me was cool because, you know, that was the early part of my years.
Okay, no doubt. Now, when it comes to being in this music industry, all right, when it comes to being in this music industry, who are some of your influences when it comes to the music?
You mean like now?
Yes,
right now,
general,
or
like
my influence?
Mm-hmm. Who are your influences,
okay, so,
period, point blank? Like some of the people that make you want to be the best, that inspired you to be the artist, and some of the people that make you want to be the best artist you can be now.
Right, so again, Dougie Fresh, Slick Rick, of course, I'm going to always say them because they're the ones who I was writing, you know, my first song to. But I mean, I'm not going to lie, I listened to so many people, and I was inspired by a lot of people back then because I love music. So that's from the female, from the MC Lyte to the Salt and Peppers to the Queen Latifahs back then, to the Eric B. and Rakim and the Big Daddy Kanes and the EPMDs and, like, those people and so many more, LL Cool J, Rob Bass, you name it, all of them back then inspired me. I would say now, when we start to transition into, you know, this era, right now, no matter what I do, I know if I put on Jay-Z, I'm not skipping the song. That's number one. I love Jay. I'm always love Jay. I just love his whole style, the way he rap. I like how he evolved as a person. And female-wise, if I had to pick, it's so hard because there's so many, right? But if I had to pick, if I would pick now, even though I know that she doesn't really have stuff out like that now that's current, I would pick Lauryn Hill because Lauryn Hill is so well-diverse in what she does, from the singing to rapping to educating in her music to the message. And I just love what she has to offer as an artist. Now, when we talk about bars and swag and all of that, Nicki Minaj. I realized Nicki was one of my favorites when I'm like, hold up. Every time Nicki come on, I'm not skipping it. I'm not saying fast forward or turn it down. I make sure, like, when I'm listening to her songs, I know all her lyrics. So I know that she's one that, you know, definitely inspires me. When I hear her stuff, you know, I'm not skipping. That's all I can say.
All right, I got to ask, because you mentioned Dougie Fresh in the show. So how did you feel as a youngster admiring the show when these two females burst on the scene with this song called The Showstopper? How did you feel when Salt and Pepper took a swipe at Dougie Fresh?
Well, I didn't know that. So I didn't know that that was a song for towards them. So that's news to me.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know that. I did not know. I didn't know every single, like, you know, every single industry beef, you'll be surprised. Like, some things happen, and then later on you find out, oh, shit, that's what they meant, or that's who they was talking about. You know what I mean? Like, back then, I just was really enjoying the music. You know, like, me enjoying the music, running home every day, never wanting to miss Video Music Box or Yo MTV Raps and all of that. I didn't care what was going on outside as long as I never missed that. It did something for me, right? And it was it's a part of the culture, and I love that. So for me, I listened to everybody, where I didn't really, even back then, I never got too caught up in personal stuff. I just really was enjoying the art.
Okay. Now, when did you go from reciting and changing the words to the show to making your way to a studio and becoming a recording artist yourself?
My first, I'm trying to think because so many different times, but I would say I was around 15. A guy heard me rapping, and I would go, like, to different places and battle different people and stuff, and he brought me in the studio, and then he was like, hey, I want to manage you. So I would say around, 14, 15 years old, that's when I started to, you know, go in the studio and record my own stuff.
All right. And what was it like? What was that first studio experience like for you? And what was it like being a female at such a young age pursuing this rap game?
So the first experience was good because it was good to hear my voice playing back. To say, like, wow, that's me. You know, I'm always listening to somebody else or having to rap over someone else's lyrics. So it really felt, you know, it felt good. I loved it. You know, it's funny because a lot of people say, oh, I hate how I sound, but I actually loved how I sound when I heard my voice. And I wasn't really into, when you, you know, going in at a young age and how we were doing it, it wasn't even about really creating a song, right? Because I didn't even really understand the business. I just knew to rap and to spit bars. That's what it was all about. So in the studio, it was more like, okay, everybody's just rapping. We just rapping and with no hook. You know what I mean? Just we go from one person to the next, or we just go in there, we say what we got to say, and then we tap out. So that's what it was about. But that was a great experience because I really got the chance to really, I was kind of like vibing with everybody. It really had me connected with so many people because of music. My connection was so strong with so many people because of that. So that was a great experience. And what was the second part of your question?
Now, and what was it like being a female? Being a female is such a young age.
So being a female rapping at a young age, for me, I didn't see it as anything. I felt like I got a lot of attention because I was around so many guys, right? A lot of my friends were guys, and like also all the girls would want to hang out with me because they knew that all I had a lot of guy friends, and all the guys would be like, well, you know, Ms. Well, back then I had a different name, but you know, I'm gonna say Ms. Now, Ms. You know, she always got the chicks, she gonna bring them. So for me, just the interaction with everybody wanting to hang around, it wasn't really nothing crazy or major, but I would say there was a couple of times where I felt like people were that act like they wanted to help me had other intentions that wasn't really for music. And of course, when you're young and you don't know the business and you don't understand how things go, you know, you believe a lot of people. A lot of people promise you dreams and they promise you all this stuff, and really in the end technically it's for them. But I knew how to hold my own, and thank God that I always was rolling with so many dudes that being a female, they always looked out for me. I never had to worry about somebody really coming for me, because one thing about me is I always made sure that I rolled with people that I knew would have my back when it came
no
to
doubt,
the dude.
No doubt.
So I was good.
Okay, look, let's switch gears a little bit, because I'm going to come back to the music. But I don't want to let this time pass and me not talk about some of the other things you do, because you also have a very well-known podcast called From the Ground Up Productions. Let me know a little bit about your podcast, some of the things you discussed, some of the people you've spoken to, when you started, just everything about the podcast. Let's get into it.
Yes, so the podcast From the Ground Up Productions, I decided to start that after, like, I was going on other people's show to promote my music. And when I started to do the interviews, it was just like, I loved talking. I was like, oh my God, I thought I was scared at first because I didn't know what to expect. But I was like, I actually love to talk and engage with people and have a conversation. And then I went on another show where I was a co-host on another radio station. And I loved the vibe. So I said, you know what? I think I'm going to start my own, not radio station, but podcast. So then during the pandemic, that was the idea. I never was consistent with it. But just like everybody else, during the pandemic, we all sitting home. That's when the wheels start turning. Like, wait a minute, I'm not going to just sit here and do nothing. This might be my opportunity to really give it my all and pursue this in a professional manner. So that's what I did. I decided to do it. And then I asked my husband if he would join me and be a part of it. So he was helping me. And little by little, he just started to come on you know, on air with me and be seen on camera. And now it's like, you know, me and him, we do it together. He go by Ray, the Silent Assassin. So me and my husband, we do From the Ground Up Productions together. And I love it because, like I said, we talk to different legends in the industry. We talk to other independent artists and entrepreneurs, and we get to hear their story. And we also get to learn certain things in a process. Some of the people I've interviewed on the show, Greg Nice from Nice and Smooth, we interviewed MC Shan, Special Ed, CVD from the Force and D's, Arrested Development, we Trust from the group High Five, Buddy from the group Intro, Sweet LD from, this is funny, I used to watch her, she was MC Hammer's group. 3LD from Oaktown 357. And, you know, again, you know, a few others, so many more, but that is like that I could think of off the top of my head that we interviewed. Those are some of the legends in the game. And it was exciting interviewing them because those were people that I grew up listening to. So it's so nice. And we just did Melissa Morgan.
For those
who do not know, you know what I mean? Yeah, we just did Melissa Morgan, and I actually just was a host at Springfield Queens Day reunion, and she performed there, and that was really great. DJ Red Alert was there. We interviewed him. So it was pretty dope. So, yeah, you know, I'm definitely loving this and definitely looking to expand on a higher level, but I'm so happy with the progress that we have so far because we only been doing this for, like I said, since, what's this, 2022? Because I be forgetting the years. Time going quick.
Me too.
But, yeah, you know, so just saying a couple of years for us to start it, to keep expanding, to keep changing, to make it better, to keep evolving, to the point of now we're able to get these well-known people in the industry, these legends on our show. Like, you know, in a two-year time frame, that's not bad. You know what I mean? And the fact that, you know, we're putting our name out there, you know? We're definitely putting our name out there, and we're putting in work, and we definitely always make sure that our guests feel like our podcast is a second home to them. We don't do things, because let me tell you, we got people on our show. We love to talk about stuff, but we never do things in the point of trying to do click. You know what I mean? We want people to respect us and know that we have morals and we're not out here just trying to disrespect anybody just for clicks and for likes. We want to build our legacy in this industry the right way.
All right, what's it like working beside your husband?
It's great, actually. He is, again, he's so supportive. Again, listen, husband and wife, y'all know it goes, of course we be having things behind the scenes. We argue, you know, stuff like that. And, again, trying to keep it business when we're working, but I'm going to tell you, I would not have it any other way because I know at the end of the day, no matter what the situation is, he's always going to have my best interest at heart, and he does. Again, yeah, this might have been everything that I wanted to do, but he came on board, and he does it with me, and he's a part of this, and he's supported, and he keeps me in check, you know? Like, on days where I might be slipping, he's there to make sure, like, nah, get up. You know, you started this, you got to sit, keep going. He is, like, a strong support system for me, so it's, I know that I don't have to worry about anybody trying to shit on me during the process. And even if I make a mistake, I don't have to worry about that. You know, he's there. He's supportive. And he's even getting even better at it because he really was the guy behind the scenes. So I pulled him from behind the scenes and brought him to the camp, to the forefront. So funny because I have a show called Talk Therapy that I do on Tuesdays. So it's Talk Therapy Tuesdays where we discuss different topics. Because we need that, especially now in today's time. So I was doing it at one point by myself, but then I started to bring him on because I'm like, you know, I feel like they need a man's point of view. You know, like you're hearing my point of view, it might be different than a man's point of view. So, and then I started realizing that the guys like that because he speaks for them. I speak for the women, you know. But we come together, we don't sugarcoat nothing. We ain't agreeing with everything. We will disagree and be okay with that. You know, it ain't no, oh, we're going to make everything look peachy creamy. Nah, we don't do that. It is what it is, but we still got the respect.
All right. Now, I also noticed that you are in the process of launching a potato chip line.
Right, right. So I do already have my potato chips out.
Okay.
It's called Boss Move Chips. Yes, and I launched the first flavor, which was sweet hot barbecue, and if they could go there, actually you could go, I have to post more because I've been so busy, but I have a website, bossmovechips.com, or they can go to Instagram or wherever, put in Boss Move, so you can see the chips, see people eating them, see it in stores. Right now I'm working on getting it in the big box stores because Boss Move Chips is a potato chip company that represents the people. So it is made for other people's faces to be on the chip. So this is more for entertainers, entrepreneurs, community leaders, and things like that. I always tell people, because this is who know this, a lot of people don't understand what goes into something like this. When someone don't understand the business aspect and they may look at it as it might be this small thing where I'm at home just putting other people's chips and stealing the bag. Now, we're not doing that. Everything that I did it just like the brand names that you see in the stores, okay? So if you see Doritos, Lay's, the Cheeto, all of those things, that's exactly how Boss Move Chips was done. So people, I always tell people, if they're interested in getting on the bag, I do a consultation with them to explain the process so that they can understand to get on the bag is a fee, and the fee is an investment. But the great thing about the investment that most people, or I don't really see anybody offering, is that they can get the opportunity to get that money back. So it's a win-win for that individual. So, for example, let's say you wanted to get on the chip. Okay, we will have a consultation. I will go over everything with you during the meeting. And then if you could afford to be on the chip, then you would make your payment, and then we would go through the different phases, right? But what would happen is you would get the chips, and you would be able to sell them yourself to make your money back. And you could sell them at whatever rate you want to sell them at. So that investment becomes another way for you to make a profit. So in the end, you don't lose. You get your face on the chips. You get promo on the back of the bag. It could be a bio. It could be your website, a QR code, anything that represents you and connect you to your followers, your fans, and how you're going to gain your fans. And again, like I said, you can make your money back based off of how you, if you choose to sell them, if you want to just promote yourself and give them out. And then we take some and we put it in the stores that we have relationships with. And that is another thing, too, because it's continuing to promote the individual on our end as well. And, again, like I said, we are in stores at the time, but we are working on big box stores.
Okay. All right, before I let you go, let's talk about this new thing you have called Riding. Tell me who produced it.
Yes.
And what's the concept behind it?
So my daughter's father produced that. His name is Contagious Funk. And the concept, I was in the car riding, right? But I said, this sounds like a very sexual song, because when I write music, I like to write based off of how the beat makes me feel. That's why I don't like to be put in a box. Whatever I write, it could be hard, it could be sexy, it could be conscious. I'm very versatile when I'm writing. So this song is a sexual song. That's why I put adults only. We're not marketing to anybody that's not an adult. So, you know, it's metaphors. So you could think riding, but, I mean, riding something else. But, you know, I put the car out there to give that image.
Okay.
But when you listen to the lyrics, you can understand what I'm talking about.
All right. At this point, how well is it responding for you? How receptive are your fans to it?
People love it, which is, I mean, not to say surprising, because normally I'm like more of a conscious rapper, but people have been responding very well. They actually love the song. It's being played. I know people that have it in rotation consistently on their radio station. And again, I have the clean and dirty version. So for those who can't, you know, play the dirty version, I have the clean version available, but definitely have been getting a great response. And of course the guys love it.
Okay. All right. So look, my last question before we play this record for the people, how have you been able, cause we live in the world of social media. If you don't have social media now, it's almost very hard to even get anything done. How have you used social media when it comes to marketing your podcast, your chips, as well as your musical career? And you're an author. We didn't even talk about you being an author.
Yeah, so I'll touch on the author real quick, and then I'll get to your question. So I am an author. I have my own publishing company, music publishing company. So I put all of my stuff out through my own company. I have three books. The first book that I wrote was called Broken Then Healed. I actually put that out under a different publishing company because I was in the process of learning, right? Once I've learned what I needed to learn, that's why I said, hey, I'm going to start my own publishing company. So the next book I decided to do was called The Indie Artist Struggle. This was to get my feet wet as far as putting the book out under my own company. So Indie Artist Struggle was pretty, let me back it up a little bit, sorry. Broken Then Healed is about my life. It's about things that I went through up to a certain point. Indie Artist Struggle is about me coming back into the music industry as an independent artist and the struggles that I face. And then I teach people things that I've learned so far that might be helpful to another person that's also in the industry. Then I just released a 30-day manifestation book. This book is more of an accountability book. It's more like a, not diary, but a journal. So this book is really to just kind of like help people or complete a goal, you know what I mean? Because I think we live in a time where everybody want to get things done and stuff like that. So those are the three books that I have out, and all of them could be ordered on Amazon or directly from me on my website, which is ladymiz.com. I spell lady with an I, so it's L-A-D-I-M-I-Z. And as far, what was the question? I'm sorry.
Media. How have you used social media to basically affect how you are able to reach people who you can't get in your car to go see?
Right. So I use social media. The sad part is social media, if you're not paying for campaigns, they kind of ban you in a sense. They ban you. It's called shadow ban, where they block with Instagram. And I use Facebook, and I am trying to be more active, but I am on TikTok as well. So I use all of those, and I just post, and I ask people that I know, hey, and, you know, I'll send it to them, and I'll ask them to share it or something like that, or I'll tag people in it. But I go beyond that because I understand that social media is good, but if you don't have a lot of people sharing your stuff, then you're really only reaching the people who already know about you. So the goal is to have a longer reach so that you can reach people who don't know about you. That's how you build a bigger fan base. So for me, it's more just about posting. But at times, I will do campaigns as needed. I'm also on YouTube, but I will do campaigns as needed so that I could reach people, you know, when the time is right. So that's how I use it.
Okay, and where can people find you?
The first place, again, I always tell people to go is to my website, ladymiz.com. That's www.ladimiz.com. And when they go on there, if they subscribe to my website, I'll have their information too, like their email. And I can stay connected with them and send them different things that I have going on. Now, also, I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. And I'm on YouTube. And everything is Lady Miz. Even if you Google Lady Miz, I will pop up. I made sure that I did everything the right way so that my stuff is there. My SEO is right. So if you Google L-A-D-I-M-I-Z, multiple things will pop up, and that's all me. You can find me there. But I always tell people, follow me on Instagram. Definitely go to my website. It's the best way to get in touch with me.
All right, and you mentioned Facebook. What's your Facebook?
Lady Miz Music.
Lady Miz Music. All right, Lady Miz, it's been an honor and a pleasure to talk to you. Do me a favor, before you get up out of here, and introduce your record to the world.
Sure. So what's up, people? This is your girl, Lady Miz, and you're listening to Riding Dirty Radio, right? And this is my joint called Riding.
Yes, ma'am, Riding Dirty
Radio. Yes.
Thank you so much,
and
Mom.
This is my joint called Riding. No problem.
I'm riding, yeah, baby. I'm riding. Let's go. Is you catching this ride, baby?
Come on.
Or is you coming? the side, baby. I'm riding. Yeah, baby. I'm riding. Let's go. Is you catching this ride, baby? Or is you coming inside? Rolling in my 6'4". He gave me 6 inches, said I need more.
I need a little
you
more.
Got to hop up on my click more. He said my peonies smell like Dior. Put the key in an ignition and ramp up the transmission. A little more kissing and a lot more dicking. I told you I'm a rider, rider. Just make sure you don't side up.
Come ride with me. Come ride with me.
Is you catching this ride, baby? Or is you coming inside, baby?
Come ride with me.
Let's go.
Come ride with me.
Get in. Is you catching this ride, baby? Or is you coming inside? Yeah, daddy, talk that shit to me. He beat it so good, I charged him with a felony. Now I know why his ex is mad at me. Cause I fucked him like he supposed to be. Grip the handle with a tight grip. He thought that I couldn't handle the stick. I'm just right with the nice fit. Shit, now he the one that's with. You hitting all the right corners real smooth. But you gotta speed it up
till we faster.
You got the green light, daddy, now take off. But you better beat it up, beat it up. He's still into me after post-nut clarity. When he with the next chick, he fantasizing up me. Oh my God, just make sure you don't come inside.
Come ride with me,
yeah, yeah.
Come ride with me,
right there. Is you catching this ride, baby? Or is you coming inside, baby?
Come ride.